Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick, Vatican Radio. Monsignor Charles Burns, a long-time Vatican archivist, currently canon of St. Peter's Basilica, takes us step by step through the voting process of a conclave.
The idea of a smoke signal probably originated because a signal had to be given to the guard on the roof of the Castle Sant'Angelo to fire the cannon to announce to the city of Rome that the new pope was elected. And that way the populace could come over to the piazza. But I think the idea originated there, in trying to send, you know, a smoke signal to the chap on the top of Castel Sant'Angelo. Well, I mean, those days have passed. Those days have passed. Ringing the bells of St. Peter's is a very appropriate innovation. Before the conclave opens, shall we say, before it actually opens technically, there's a Mass of the Holy Spirit in St. Peter's. The cardinals then go back for lunch, etc., but then return to the Vatican, go to the Pauline Chapel, get into order of precedence, and singing the Veni Creator, they process to the Sistine Chapel. When they're in the Sistine Chapel, the first thing is that the Cardinal Dean will administer the oath, and they swear individually that they will abide by the rules of the Constitution, the Papal Constitution. If they're going to have a ballot, if there's no other business to be discussed, and they agree, all right, we could get on with a ballot, okay, the ballot papers will be distributed by the assistants who are there. And things are made ready that way.
And then this extra omnes.
The master of ceremonies will say extra omnes, and everyone who's not involved in the actual election will have to go out, with the exception of himself, Monsignor Archbishop Marini, and the preacher. Special preacher is appointed, who will turn the thoughts of the cardinals to the matter that they're about to undertake, and ask them to have nothing else except, I mean, Almighty God before them when they come in conscience to vote for a particular candidate. At that stage, Marini and the preacher come out. The junior cardinal deacon closes the door behind them, and he then will either open or close that door according to the needs of the conclave.
So there really is a closing, physical closing.
Oh, there is a physical closing. In the past, it was closed inside and outside. There used to be the guardian of the conclave, who would be Prince Kiji or somebody like that, with the Governor General of Vatican City. He had the obligation of seeing that outside was also closed and the inside was closed. That really appears unnecessary nowadays. I mean, those were marvellous formalities with a lot of history behind them. But I think that from that point of view, the Pope wanted to streamline the conclave.
It's really extraordinary how in this media-conscious society, there's no way that the media can discover what's happening within the conclave. That hasn't changed at all.
That hasn't changed at all, and probably it's better that it shouldn't change, that the total confidentiality, the secrecy of the conclave should be maintained. What goes on inside the conclave, I mean, is nobody's business, shall we say. Only the cardinals know about it. And maybe that's the best way, that we don't see kind of partisan stands, people's all going for this candidate or that candidate, someone possibly at the end scraping through with two-thirds majority or two-thirds plus one. Whoever emerges is the Pope. Each cardinal has his own desk in the Sistine Chapel. And normally they'll have two or three voting slips, rectangular pieces of paper, with in Latin, eligo, in summum pontificem, and then the name that you want. I elect as supreme pontiff, cardinals, or just, it doesn't even say cardinal, just the name that you've to add. Now that's at the top half of the piece of paper, of the rectangular slip. You're only allowed, obviously, to put in one ballot paper. So once you've completed your ballot paper with the name written clearly, but if possibly in a kind of disguised form of handwriting, you then fold it rectangularly, so that it's now a long, thin slip of paper. And having done this, having completed the compilation of the ballots, the cardinals then proceed to deposit them in a special urn. They come in line of precedence, holding between their thumb and forefinger, holding so that it can be seen, the ballot paper which they have completed. Arriving at the chalice, they place the ballot paper on top of a paten and slip it that way. They don't put their hand into the urn, into the chalice. They slip this from the paten into the chalice, saying at the same time that they swear before God that this is the person whom they wish to elect as Pope. If someone, for instance, let's say has rheumatism and can't move from his place, that's taken care of. One of the scrutineers will go and will take his ballot paper, compiled but closed, and again holding it aloft, will bring it and deposit it in the chalice as all the others have done. If somebody or others are so sick that they can't leave their own quarters in the Domus Sancti Marte, provision is made also for that. That's where the three infirmarians come into service. Now, at that stage, the first stage has taken place. The first of the scrutineers takes the great chalice and shakes it up so that all the ballot papers inside are all mixed up. He then empties it out onto the table. And at this stage, the count begins. He takes a ballot paper, opens it, reads it, passes it only read to the second scrutineer, who reads the name, who passes it to the third, who reads the name and calls the name out aloud for all to hear, and then takes a needle and thread, and through the word eligo, through the word I elect, he passes the needle and thread through that word, and in that way the ballot papers will not be dispersed. It proceeds like that through all the ballot papers. Let's say that when they count the ballot papers at the beginning, that there's a discrepancy between the number of electors and the number of ballot papers, then immediately that's considered null. They've just got to start all over again. But let's presume that the right number is there and the right number of ballot papers are there, and they go through all that, announcing the name and taking the count. At the end of an inconclusive ballot, they will proceed to the second ballot, keeping on a side table all the original ballots from the first round. They'll go through the second ballot and the same procedure, look at it, read it, announce it aloud, and thread it on to the other papers. And at the end of that, if it has still been an inconclusive ballot, they take all of these ballot papers, take them to the stove, push in some other material, it used to be straw or something like that, I think they use chemicals now though, that will produce dense black smoke. The important thing is that if it's only the papers that are being burned, then the smoke is white. Now, that only occurs when there has been a conclusive ballot. When going through the whole thing, they've realised the ballot papers tally with the electors. They have now got a candidate who has achieved 2/3 majority. This is also checked by the tellers, by the revisers. They make sure that there's been no mistake made. And at that stage, all right, we're back to the stage where the dean asks the consent of the elected candidate.
And we never know anything about what happened in these conclaves.
No, strictly speaking, not. The reason being that the Camerlengo is supposed to collect, first of all, any other papers, any other notes that cardinals may have taken. They're supposed to hand them over, and they also are burned. Now, obviously, the scrutineers, they take a very careful note, a very careful record of how the voting has gone. It's not that we lose all record, but those records are then put into a special envelope and put in a very specially assigned archive, not open to consultation.
What happens then?
We've now got a candidate who has been canonically elected. The Cardinal Dean asks him, do you accept your canonical election? And if he accepts it, the Dean asks him, by what name do you wish to be called? What name, pontifical name, do you wish to assume? and the newly elected Pope announces the name that he would like, you know, to be called by. And from that very moment, he is the Bishop of Rome. He is the Pope. He's the head of the College of Bishops.
And you were listening there to Monsignor Charles Burns, a long-time Vatican archivist and currently canon of St. Peter's Basilica. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.